always looking towards eternal things, not these temporal things of this earth. As I mentioned, you know, when we look at these things on this earth, but it's depressing, huh? I don't know about you, when I look in the mirror, I get depressed. I want to take my eyes off myself. I'm not kidding. But it comes natural, right? I like myself. I want to feed myself. I want to do all these things. I want all these nice things, right? You look in the mirror, but boy, I just get more depressed because I don't get those things, right? We've got to get our eyes off ourselves and onto these eternal things, right? That's where the glory is. Amen.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast of Calvary Chapel Echo Park here in Los Angeles, California. We are a small fellowship of diverse believers who want to serve our Lord and do His will. You can find out more about our fellowship at ccechopark.com. Join us for our live stream on Sunday in the New Testament and Wednesday evenings in the Old Testament. Now, let's get into the Word of God in our weekly podcast. The teaching is from Pastor David Higa and will be the study of the revelation of Jesus Christ and the book of Revelation.
Revelation 20, verse 7. Right, John records, "Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea." Verse 9, "They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Verse 11, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." Verse 13, "The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Even in the millennial kingdom, there's sin. And so the glory of God can't fully come until what? Sin is totally taken out. So a new heaven and a new earth must be created. And so that's why the great white throne judgment as well. What's the great white throne judgment? It's the bad judgment. It's when those whose souls are in Hades will receive an eternal body to be cast into the fiery furnace, Gehenna. And so sin must be dealt with. These ones that are there, right, awaiting their eternal bodies, it must be dealt with before the new heavens and the new earth would come. Sin is totally eradicated, right? And that's why we see right here positioned right at the end of the millennium and right before the eternal state starts, the great white throne judgment. Now, I want to just note this to you. The great white throne judgment is not the Bema Seat judgment. Totally different. The Bema Seat judgment is the good judgment, if you want to look at that. Now, I don't think any judgment is good, but the Bema Seat judgment are for those of the faith. We've talked about this time and again, right? All those of the faith, the Christian of the faith today, right? When he dies, he's going to await the Bema Seat judgment of Christ. Before he gets his resurrected body, he's going to pass through the fire, and the wood, hay, and stubble is going to burn. All those things that can't stand in the presence of the Lord are going to burn. But then he's going to receive, as he's purified, his crowns. And that's going to be so great. And so it's not a judgment unto condemnation. It's a judgment for rewards. It's to purify, right, before your rewards are given, because we're going to stand in the presence of the Lord in our resurrected body, right? And so that's the Bema Seat judgment of Christ. But this is the great white throne judgment. This is the bad judgment. This is when all those souls that are in Hades on the side of torment are going to receive now a eternal body to go and be separated from the Lord in Gehenna for eternity. That's what's being described here, okay? So let's read from verse 11 here. Revelation 20, verse 11 says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away." Now this is interesting. At this great white throne judgment, who's on the throne? It's him. It's Jesus. But notice it says, "from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away." Why would the earth and the heaven flee from the face of Jesus? Well, I believe that Jesus is full glory. The fullness of holiness, no veiling, right, is going to be exposed. And what happens? When God's full holiness and glory is unveiled, what happens? Sin is dismantled. Sin is obliterated. Sin is burned to smithereens. That's what's happening, right? And so it says, "from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away." Now, this would be the old earth and the old heaven. This would be the earth of even the millennial kingdom. Because we noted this in the millennial earth, right? There's still going to be sin. And so that earth and that heaven, that atmosphere, needs to be totally taken away. And so as the holiness of Jesus, right, is fully revealed, what's happening? Heaven and earth, they fled away. Now, I want you to jump with me down to chapter 21, verse 1. What does it say? "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth." When does that new heaven and new earth come? It's after the old heaven and the old earth flee and are burned and are taken in the holiness of God. Actually, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 15 talk about it. We're going to read that at the conclusion. Everything in this old, even when we see the millennial kingdom in that context, right? It's a rejuvenated earth, but it's still the old earth. It's a rejuvenated earth. There's still sin. That thing's going to be totally burned because a new heaven and new earth is going to come. Because in the new heaven and new earth, in the eternal state, sin can't be anywhere around. Think about the holiness of God and the sin of man. What's going to happen? If the full holiness of God comes in the presence of the sin of man, what's going to happen to man? He's going to burn. And could that be what Gehenna is? You think about it, right? The souls of the unfaithful, filled with sin, they're in torment now. They're going to be connected to an eternal body at this great white throne judgment, full of sin. They'll be cast into Gehenna. The holiness of God in Gehenna is going to eternally burn them. Now, why do I say that? Remember, we alluded to this. I want you to hold your hand here. And I want you to turn with me back to Revelation chapter 14. We noted this. You probably forgot this. We noted this reference of the omnipresence of God and how even the holy angels and the Lamb are in Gehenna. Remember we noted this? Now think about this. How can God be there? Well, does God cease to be anywhere? He's everywhere at all times. God is omnipresent. What does that mean? He's present everywhere at all times. You know, David talked about that. Even if I go to the depths, right? You are there. I can't flee from your presence. Everywhere I go, you're there. So God is in Gehenna. So let's read from Revelation 14. Let's read from verse 9. But verse 10 is where we want to focus our attention. He says this, "Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself, verse 10, shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation." So he's describing all those that take the mark of the beast, their eternal destiny is going to be Gehenna, to burn forever and ever, which we're studying at the great white throne judgment. Okay? And so he's referencing that. Don't take the mark of the beast. Now, it goes on to say, he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. That's Gehenna. In the presence of what? Of the holy angels. And in the presence of the Lamb. Remember? And, you know, David Guzik kind of highlights this in his commentary there. You might want to take a look at it. But it's interesting. Think about it. In Gehenna, who's there? The holy angels. Who's there? Jesus Christ. Because he's omnipresent. So we talked about this, and I think this really does start to make sense. You know, in Gehenna, why there's an eternal burning? Perhaps, and I think more than perhaps, I really I think this with all my heart, is the fullness of God's glory and holiness is there. And that's the new heavens and the new earth. That's when God's holiness is all throughout the new heaven and the new earth. And so in Gehenna, could this be, you have sin. The only sin that's left is in these souls that didn't receive the Lord. They're joined to an eternal body, which is full of sin. And then the holiness of God becomes unveiled. What happens when the unveiled holiness of God comes in contact with sin? You're burned. Remember Moses? I mean, that was a veiled glory, right? And even he was burned. But can you imagine an unveiled glory of God and the sin of all those that don't come through faith in Jesus Christ? They're going to burn, but they're going to not be able to die. The soul is eternal, right? And the body, an eternal body is given to them. And so the presence, the omnipresence of God's holiness in the new Jerusalem, in the new heavens and new earth, perhaps that's the eternal torment. Not just in the soul, but in the eternal body as well. Very interesting to ponder, huh? When you put these things together. It does make sense. God is omnipresent. But his holiness is going to be unveiled in the new Jerusalem, in the eternal state. If we're in our resurrected body, we've come through Christ, we're fine, right? No more sin. Sin's eradicated. Sin can't be. But those that died in sin, didn't receive the Lord, receive an eternal body, they're going to be in an eternal torment. Eternal condemnation. And so I believe that's what's being described, especially in verse 11. It says, from whose face the earth, the old one, the old earth and the old heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. You see, there's no place for sin to go in the holiness of God, but to burn. Can't hide. Can't be like those cockroaches hiding in the dark. Everything's going to be light. Now verse 12 says, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to the works by the things which were written in the books. Now, we have books that were open, and we have the book of life. Okay, so let me draw to your attention the book of life. And so really it says anybody that's not found in the book of life are going to be what? Cast into Gehenna. They're going to receive their eternal body to be cast into Gehenna where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, it says the book of life. Now, I believe that everybody is written in the book of life. But if they don't receive salvation through Jesus Christ or believing in the promises of God given to them. Remember, we noted this, that God gave his word to the different generations, even the Old Testament saints. Remember, it says that Abram believed God. God imputed righteousness. What did Abraham need to exercise faith in? The Abrahamic covenant. And so we see, right, all throughout Scripture, it's believing by faith in God's word. Now, for us, it's in the cross of Calvary, right? That's the final one. And so all those that are in the book of life, I believe they're all written, but those that don't believe in faith, the word of God, they're blotted out. And so at this point, at the great white throne judgment, all those that are not written in the book of life, they're going to be cast into Gehenna. Okay? So I do believe that the book of life has everybody's name written in it, but it depends whether you stay in there if you believe on the word of God. But it's interesting right here at the beginning of verse 12, it talks about these books. What are these other books? Very interesting. I want to read you another comment. This is by Warren Wiersbe as well. And he quotes, and I want you to write this down, a cross-reference to Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 through 24. These are Jesus' words. And these other books, and just some maybe Warren Wiersbe is going to describe, these other books are highlighting the degrees of judgment for those that are not in the book of life. So you have the books and you have the one, the book of life. Those not in the book of life, they're going to be eternally condemned into Gehenna. but there's degrees of punishment. Think about this. You know, when you read the penal code, even in our country, there's degrees of punishment depending on the crime. Now, you can all end up in jail, but there's what? Life sentences, right? There's a month in jail. There's degrees. And so this is really what's being highlighted, I believe, in these books that were opened. They're the degrees of judgment, okay? And so let me read you this Warren Wiersbe's comment. He says, Jesus Christ will judge these unsaved people on the basis of what is written in these books. What books? For one thing, God's word will be there. And he quotes John chapter 12, verse 48. Jesus said this, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. John chapter 12, verse 48. Every sinner, Wiersbe writes, will be held accountable for the truth he or she has heard in this life. There will also be a book containing the works of sinners being judged. Though this does not suggest that a person can do works sufficient to enter in heaven. Let me read that again. There will be also a book containing the works of sinners being judged. Though this does not suggest that a person can do works sufficient to enter heaven. Why then will Jesus Christ consider the works, good and bad, of the people before the great, before the white throne? Why would Jesus consider, right, the works of those that are going to be judged in to go to Gehenna? That's the question, right? It says to determine the degree of punishment they will endure in hell. So he's saying that these books are the books of the degree of judgments of those going to hell. So you ask, why? Well, because there's degrees. So perhaps somebody that hasn't received the Lord, right, but is maybe a good person, what we call a good person, right, but hasn't received the Lord, is he going to get to heaven? No, he's going to be destined to Gehenna because he doesn't come through the righteousness of Jesus, right? But there's a certain degree of punishment. Perhaps that person that has been a serial murderer and hasn't repented. Now, I do believe a serial murderer that repents will get to heaven. The blood of Jesus is powerful enough to do that. But ones that don't repent, these are all going to Gehenna. But there's going to be degrees of judgment. That's what Wiersbe is highlighting. To determine the degree of punishment they will endure in hell. That's why these books are there. All of these people will be cast into hell. Their personal rejection of Jesus Christ has already determined their destiny. They're all going to end up in hell, but there's going to be degrees of hell. But Jesus Christ is a righteous judge, and he will assign each sinner the place he deserves. There are degrees of punishment in hell, Wiersbe writes, and he refers to Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 through 24, which we're going to read. Each lost sinner will receive what is due him, and none will be able to argue with the Lord or question his decision. God knows what sinners are doing, and his books will reveal the truth. So these books reveal how much condemnation they're going to receive, how harsh the condemnation is. Okay? And so, Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 through 24, these are Jesus' words. And this is where we point to in terms of the degrees of punishment. All right? Verse 20, Matthew chapter 11, says, then he, Jesus, began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. So all these ones are going to go to Gehenna, but there's going to be degrees, right? It says, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. And so he's referencing Chorazin and Bethsaida, ones in the fold of Israel, right, that have seen the works of Jesus. He's comparing them to these Gentile towns of Tyre and Sidon. And he's saying, if they would have seen what you have seen and what you have known in God's word, they would have repented a long time ago. Verse 22, but I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. Do you understand? To whom much is given, much is required. There's a responsibility. And he says, verse 23, and you Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. See the degrees? Because he's referring to the accountability of those that have been given revelation. And he says, it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom, who is going to go into Gehenna and judge, right? Than for you, because you've been given so much more. Now, the question has to be, how much have we been given in this country, huh? But there are degrees. This points to the principle of different degrees of judgment or different degrees of torment in Gehenna. Okay? And so in verse 12 of Revelation chapter 20, it says, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open. The understanding or the interpretation is that these books, they're open to identify the degree of torment. It's going to record the accountability and the type of sin that you are unrepentant of. These are for non-believers, okay? This is the books of judgment. If you're not found in the book of life, you're going to be found in these books on how much judgment you're going to receive. But they're all going to go into Gehenna, okay? Now, verse 13, it says, the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Now, what does that mean, the sea gave up the dead? Well, I believe this means that all those whose bodies were buried at sea, there was a lot of them, right? And I believe that this references the physical bodies that go into the ground. It says the sea gave up the dead. Because we know that all the bodies that go into the ground and in the sea that are not of the faith, that weren't of the faith, they're going to have what? An eternal body. So let's talk about the resurrected body to go before the Lord. The resurrected body, is it a change of body? No, it's not a change of body. That's reincarnation. Right? That's what the Buddhists and the Hindus believe, reincarnation. That when I die, right, I'm going to have a change of body. I might, I don't know, be a butterfly next time. Or a horse. Or a dog. That's what they believe. That's a change of body. What's a resurrection body? It's a change in your body. Okay, so when you see me in my resurrected body, you're going to know that that's David. And maybe I won't be so heavy. Maybe I'll be 6 feet tall. But you're going to notice that that's me. Just like, remember when Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene? At first she didn't know him, but she was looking at him. And then when she heard it, that's Jesus. There's going to be a recognizable person. It's a change in the body, not a change of the body. And so let's translate that to the eternal bodies given to these ones that are not of the faith. It says, the sea gave up the dead who were in it. It's a change in the body to join the souls that are in Hades, being on the side of the torment. You understand? And so it says, the sea gave up the dead. I believe this is a reference to the physical body. Who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead. So all those whose bodies are in the ground and souls are on the side of torment in Hades, they're going to come together. There's going to be change in that body, an eternal body, but it's going to be a body that is still in sin, filled with sin, along with its soul, and they're going to be cast into Gehenna. The glory and the holiness of God is going to be there, and that's going to be what eternally burns, the eternal fire, forever and ever. See, the problem is sin, isn't it? Sin is going to be burned in the holiness of God. And so if you don't do something with the sin, which is the blood of Jesus Christ, then you're going to burn forever and ever. an eternal fire. And so the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Again, each one according to what? The judgment, the degree of judgment, according to the amount of sin that they did. There's levels of judgment. Now, it says, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. That's Gehenna. So the eternal body and the eternal soul of the sinner is going to be cast into Gehenna, the lake of fire. This is the second death. Remember, we noted this from last week in chapter 20, verses 5 and 6. Remember, he said, blessed and holy in verse 6 is he who is part of the first resurrection, the good resurrection, to be with the Lord. It says, over such the second death has no power. So the resurrected, born-again believer, right, is not going to get to Gehenna. Right? He's saved from that. But those that are apart from Christ, right, they're going to receive an eternal body to be cast into Gehenna. That's the second death. Being cast into Gehenna is the second death. Okay? And verse 15 says, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, again, the reason we see the great white throne judgment is to deal with the souls that are in Hades. Those souls, they're going to be emptied and cast into Gehenna. Just like the souls on the side of Abraham were emptied at the cross of Calvary, and they were released to be in the presence of the Lord, awaiting their resurrected body to be with the Lord. Okay, so you have an eternal body with an eternal soul with the Lord through the cross of Calvary, but then you have an eternal body and an eternal soul to be apart from the Lord in Gehenna at the great white throne judgment. You see what's happening here? Now, this precedes the eternal state. Notice in verse 1, chapter 21, it says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Because even the millennial kingdom needs to be what? Cleaned of this rebellion and sin. And so think about this. Sin is going to be 100% eradicated in the new heaven and new earth. That's why there has to be a new heaven and new earth. That's the eternal state. That's when there's no more death, no more sin, no more crying, no more pain. It's not in the millennial kingdom. Even though the millennial kingdom is a good life, it's a rejuvenated earth, returning to its former glory, but it's not a new earth. That's the eternal state. And that's when sin is totally dealt with, and the ones with sin, eternal sin there in their eternal bodies, they're right there, and they're in the midst of the holiness of God fully, and that's the burning. And so the holiness of God is going to fill the heavens and the earth. And the only ones that can't stand in the presence are those with these eternal bodies cast into Gehenna. And that's why they're going to be eternally, what, in torment. All right, and so next week we're going to look, the best part, chapters 21 and 22, the eternal state. I'm going to close by reading 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. Peter writes this, he says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. We're going to read about that next week. Therefore, though, here's the application, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. Looking for what? Looking for Him. It's upward and forward, isn't it? Because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for what? New heavens and a new earth. We're not even looking toward the millennium. We know why the millennium must come. It's going to be a great time. But what are we looking for? New heavens and a new earth where sin is totally removed, eradicated. We're going to be in full presence of God's glory and God's holiness.
Thanks again for joining us on our podcast of Calvary Chapel Echo Park. We hope and pray that you have been blessed by the teaching, and join us again as we continue to study the Word of God. Once again, you can always visit us on our homepage at ccechopark.com for more information and teachings from Pastor David. To God be the glory.